My name is not Mike. Do you want a beer, Mike? That's fine. Thanks for the prayer time. My wife and I had a conversation with Kate last week, our granddaughter, who was in Sri Lanka, and she was sharing how receptive to the Hindu people were to the gospel. I thought, wow, Kate, how did you make that so appealing to a Hindu? She said, you know what? I believe it was because of intercessory prayer. I thought, wow, what an insight for a 19-year-old. There was five or six kids in the YWAM program where she is, and they would go into a Hindu home, which is very cultural for them to do that, and the kids would sit on the floor, and the parents and the family would sit around them, and they'd share, through an interpreter, of course, the gospel message. And she said they were so receptive. God is working. If you missed a Sunday or two here, you might need to know that we're looking at the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. So if you can find Matthew, just flip back a couple pages and you're there. We're looking at Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi was a prophet who seemed to be able to sense people's lack of enthusiasm for their God. And so he's, in my words, he's really kind of hard on people that are reading his words. It's not a go-to. Malachi, for me, is not a go-to book in the Bible. There are better ones to do that. But I think we do need to spend some time this morning looking at Malachi and what he has for us. So I entitled my message this morning, How Do We Treat God? Which is kind of sums up Malachi. And to put it in contemporary language, I put it like this. When you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, how do you react? Does everybody here know? Everybody here have a cookie jar at some time in their life? When you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, how do you react? Yeah. I thought we'd get some response to that. I'm sorry, or I love your cookies, or you made chocolate chip again? Yay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. May the words from our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and received by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to follow, let's read some verses from Malachi, the third chapter, verses 6 to 12. Malachi 3, verses 6 to 12. I, the Lord, do not change. You, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the warehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. The people in Malachi's day had treated God very badly because they were robbing from him. Actually, they had become bored with God. Their worship had turned from being a relational worship to being a ritual. As a result, they offered blemished sacrifices. If you read the book of Malachi, they would bring blind sheep to be sacrificed? Or lame? The priests had become unfaithful. This is in chapter 2, verses 1 to 9 of Malachi. Divorce was common and easy, again in chapter 2. Their words, get this, their words wearied God, the Bible tells us. In chapter 2, verse 17, the message says they make God tired with all their talk. Businessmen were defrauding their customers and cheating their workers. Wow, things were bad. Taking advantage of widows and orphans and aliens in chapter 3, verses, the first 5 verses. But the worst treatment of God was that they were robbing God. They were robbing God. How? By withholding their tithes and by giving the worst instead of the best, by giving the least instead of the most. Their attitude was, how little can I get by with and still make God happy? The idea of robbing God is something that I really can't wrap my mind around. Rob God? I looked at in my Webster dictionary and it says to rob is to take property from. So then I kind of put things in. I grew up in a church, went to church every Sunday. And I always recall the same preacher saying to me, and Bob was your grandpa, the cattle on 1,000 hills are God's. Now, being a farm boy, that spoke to me. The cattle on 1,000 hills are God's, which means, translated, the 1,000 pigs in the pen are God's. They're not mine. That's a different perspective. The house you live in is God's. It's not Calhoun's. The law mandated that a tithe or a tenth of the produce of the land be given to the Lord first. When the people held back portions of the tithe, they were breaking the law, and in a way, they were robbing God, Scripture tells us in Malachi. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the warehouse. So part of what we're doing today is talking about tithing. This could be a sensitive subject, and I'll gladly meet you after class, because I'm not sure where I am in all this either, but let me share with you some of my ideas, or I think they're from Scripture, and then we'll go from there. Tithe comes from a Hebrew word that means one-tenth. You mathematicians, do the math. If you make $100 a day, what would a tithe be? $10. Yeah, that's not that hard. So, but it gets more difficult. People talk about tithing $50 where they make $5,000 a month. Is that 10%? I mean, it's got a 5 in it. A tithe would be, you know what, you need to do the math. A tithe would be $500. And so $50 might be an offering or a gift or a donation. It's not a tithe. So in the Old Testament, a tithe was objective. It required no heart response, no heart response. It was the law. It's what was expected, period. That's it. What tenth? Leviticus 27, verse 30. This is from the Message. A tenth of the land's produce, whether grain from the ground or fruit from a tree, is God's. And it is holy to God. If a man buys back any of the tenth he has given, he must add 20% to it. I didn't know this was in Scripture. Every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod is holy to God. As good as the Old Testament law is or was, we are not under the Old Testament law today. Whew. But it might get harder. Colossians 2:14. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the written code, he took it away. And again in Hebrews 8:13. By calling his covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. The New Testament. The New Testament teaches that a collection should be taken on the first day of every week to provide for the needs of the saints, but that we must be done freely and not out of necessity. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 3. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Be as generous as you can. And again in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. Lavish planter gets lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. You know, there'll always be a need in the church, whether for missionaries or for Good Samaritan gifts or for outreach or for just keeping the lights on and the door open. One of the unique things at New Beginnings is that there's no paid staff. If you didn't know this before, Scott does not get $50,000 a year for being head elder. At least I don't know about it. The reason why a certain percentage is not giving in the New Testament is that a Christian should not need one. Our offering to God is something that should be planned and not dug out of the pocket at the last minute. We need to give the best we can. We should not be like Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that story in the New Testament? Wow. They promised God the sale of a piece of property, and it sold for more than what they thought. And that's not new for today, is it, Bob? Get more than what you thought. Get more than asking price. So they held back that part. For robbing God, it cost them their lives. Remember the story in Acts 5? Ananias fell down and died. And the next verse, the same with Sapphira and his wife. Giving has always been God's way of financing the church. God never intended the church to raise money by bingo and raffles. I'm sorry. God never intended the church to raise money by having bingo and raffles. Let's go down a bunny trail here. Sometimes the bunny trails aren't all that exciting, but this might help us with this. The purpose of the tithe is to support God's work. But really, the primary purpose of a tithe is to put God first in our lives. There is more to tithing than being an Old Testament income tax. Each year, you are to set aside a tenth of all produce, so you will always learn to fear the Lord your God. Each year, you're to set aside a tenth. We are to pay God first. So often, the process is reversed, even in my own life. If there's anything left, we'll give it to God. I think this is what was happening in Malachi's day. They were giving God the leftovers. The result was they were robbing God. Malachi 3:10, test me in this way. God challenged his people to give according to the law so that he could bless them. As far as I can think, which sometimes isn't very far, this is the only time in the Bible that God puts out that kind of a challenge. Too often we get hung up on the amount and miss the promise. See if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it, Malachi says. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. See if I won't pour out so much that you can't take it all. In a giving match, it's a fact that God, that you and I cannot outgive God. God's hand is bigger. We've heard these expressions before. God's shovel is bigger. God's generosity is bigger. God's love is bigger. See if you can outgive God. That's probably a game that you love to lose. When we don't give God our best, we are actually robbing ourselves. We are actually robbing ourselves of spiritual blessing, according to the scripture. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap, for the measure that you use will be measured back to you. I'm not recommending this, but there's a time in my wife and I's marriage, in our lives, that we put borrowed money in the offering plate. Maybe you've experienced that too. We put borrowed money in the offering plate. And I think that happened because when I was 5 years old and sitting beside my dad and mother in church, my dad would always give me a dollar bill as a 5 year old to put in the offering plate. Like, why are you doing this? I didn't ask him that, but you know, we as parents, we can create certain things in our children that last forever. That last for our lifetime. When I was younger, I went visiting a black church in Chicago on a Sunday morning during a service, and this black church took their offerings by going forward and putting your money into the offering plate. It took a long time to take an offering. And after the second offering, they said, we still don't have enough. And so they called for a third offering to go visit the plate. You don't even see an offering plate here unless you look really hard. And I'm not sure which way is the best. But anyway, that's something for us to think about. I recall many years ago, I was attending a meeting, and the speaker said that they would encourage everybody to stand up, take their billfold out of their pocket or their purse, and pass it to the right. One person. And then the speaker said, now we're going to take an offering, and be generous. God may only ask for a portion of your money, but he wants all of you. You know, we really want to make a difference in life. No one gets picked for a team and then wants to sit on the bench. We want to be in the game. We need to know that our lives count for something. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I'm going to broaden this thing to tithing, from tithing a little bit to ways in which I think that I might rob God. As we close out, let me tell you a story about Johnny. Johnny was the bagger in a grocery store. This comes from an author and a speaker by the name of Barbara Blance. She was talking to a large audience of a supermarket chain. Her talk was on how people and employees can make a difference in their business. She challenged attendees to be very creative. After the meeting, she invited people to give her a call if they wanted to talk more about what she said. About a month later, Barbara got a call from 19-year-old Johnny. He informed her that he had Down syndrome. He said he had an idea. He decided that every night when he came home from work, he would find a thought for the day for his next shift. It would be something positive, and if he couldn't find one, he'd make one up. His dad helped Johnny to use the computer, and so each night the computer would print out 6 of these thoughts for the day on a page, and they printed out 50 pages. Every time he finished bagging someone's groceries, he would put this saying in the bag. Barbara was touched that a young man with a job that was thought to be not so important would spend so much time thinking of other people. My notes were sticking. A month later, the store manager called Barbara. Barbara, you wouldn't believe what happened in the store today. I went ballistic, the store manager said. The checkout line at Johnny's checkout was 3 times longer than any other line, And I said, get more lanes open. What's wrong? Make it happen. Customer said, no, 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 no. We want to be in Johnny's line. We want a thought for the day. I think Johnny is putting more than groceries in a bag. Johnny's putting in hope. Our souls need to be fed, just as our bodies do. Soul food may be a thank you. It could be, I hope you have a really good day. It could be, how are you doing? What can make words so meaningful is who they come from. If the thought for the day came from a, what do you get at a Chinese restaurant? Something that you open up? Yeah. It probably doesn't have as much meaning as if it came from Johnny. In Johnny's case, he forgets his own limitations and chooses to bless someone else. A few months later, the store manager called again and talked to Barbara and told her that Johnny had totally transformed the store. She said, what do you mean? She said, now when a flower breaks or a corsage that was ordered doesn't get picked up, they take it and give it to an elderly person that's coming to the store or to a young girl. You know, we can be a Johnny. What he did wasn't complicated or complex. He's just a beggar expressing his heart. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. And it really challenged me. Salt does not exist for itself. Salt's calling is to lose itself in something much bigger and more generous. We are made to be salt in this world, to this world. Are you robbing God of what you perceive as a weakness in your life? God never wastes a hurt. Part of what makes life most powerful is the struggle that we have in life. Example. Few can help an alcoholic more than a recovering alcoholic. Who can speak to those who grieve better than those who have suffered a great loss? If Johnny the beggar did not have limitations, his thought for the day would not have the same weight. May God help us to not rob him in our being salt and light in the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a giving God. Thank you, Father, for your great love for us, and help us to receive that and then to share that with those around us, whether it be at the workplace, whether it be with our spouse, whether it be with our families, our community. So thank you, God, for showing us the way by sending us your son, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Mm-hmm.